Thank you, Mr. Wallach. Happy Sabbath, brethren. Well, we certainly are living in a time of great uncertainty, aren't we? If you've been following the 2024 presidential race, then perhaps you have felt unsettled, as I have, wondering what's going to happen next and what will be the state of our democracy here in the United States in the coming years. It seems to me, and this is just my opinion, that our world and the country we are living in is losing its proverbial marbles. And I feel that I can say with great certainty that things are only bound to get worse. Long past are the days when the United States of America was a country founded on the principles of the Christian faith, when presidents were elected based on how well their principles and policies reflected the vision of a nation that is under God, indivisible, with freedom and justice for all. But I do not intend for this message to be a political one. We all know that no government of man can achieve the results of everlasting peace and prosperity, but that is reserved for a future everlasting King, Jesus, the Messiah. We do, however, still have to live in this world for now. And as such, we must find our peace, even as the pillars of a once strong society crumble before us, and uncertainty lurks around every corner. It's not all doom and gloom, brethren. In fact, it's quite the opposite. For we have access to a peace of mind that has the power to break through all the barriers of worry and doubt that are so prevalent in today's world. We must learn to place our full trust in the one true God, and then nothing can break our peace. What does it mean to put our trust in God, and why is it so important? Does it really matter how we feel about the world that we're living in? Let's turn to Proverbs chapter 3, and I'd like to read verses 5 and 6. Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your path straight. We see here that trust involves complete reliance on God's wisdom and guidance. Our ways are not sufficient. We cannot trust our own intellect to lead us down a straight path. It's like we're wandering through the wilderness without a map, knowing not where we are going, and having not the slightest clue how to get there. It's hard, yet it's so important to stay humble and realize that we are like babes in this life, and know we cannot figure it all out for ourselves. We literally need God to show us the way. I'll read to you 2 Timothy 1 verse 7 from the New King James Version. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Here we learn why it matters that we trust God. Not only does he know the path through the wilderness, but when you're lost, fear is your greatest enemy. Fear exacerbates the danger of being lost by clouding the mind, making it impossible to focus on the task at hand. In an article titled The Psychology of Survival, How to Maintain Morale in Challenging Conditions on bpsknives.com, the author explains, quote, in a crisis, the ability to stay calm and assess the situation is paramount. Panic clouds the judgment and impairs decision-making. Take a deep breath, assess your surroundings, and prioritize your actions, end quote. This is survival 101. Don't panic. But if we allow fear and anxiety to take over our thoughts, we are allowing Satan to pull us from that path, away from God, and back into the wilderness. We must also remember that more than ever, there are so many distractions out there tempting our attention that we don't even know, we don't even realize when we are lost. Daily prayer, meditation, and Bible reading can help us to align our intentions with God's and make it less likely for us to be lured away by distractions. In Genesis 12, verse 1 through 4, it says, "Now the Lord said to Abraham," to Abram, actually, "get out of your country, from your mighty, or from your family, and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you, and I will make your name great. And you shall be a blessing, and I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in all the families of the earth shall be blessed." So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. He was 75 years old when God instructed him to leave all his things and his family behind from the place that he knew so well to take him to a new, strange land. If someone told you to take off from your family into some strange place, some strange new land, what are the chances you would listen to them? Of course, it's different when it's coming from God, isn't it? Perhaps it is. But we try to put ourselves in Abraham's shoes and really grasp that concept that God was of what God was instructing him to do here. I mean, it wasn't a little thing he was asking him to do. Yet Abraham listened and obeyed God. Why? Because he trusted God and he did not lean on his own understanding. I'm sure every bit of rational thinking existed in his head. Don't go. You're doing great here. Why would you leave? Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. I'm going to jump up to Daniel. Daniel 6, verse 16. I vividly remember learning this story as a young child in YES classes. Who remembers those? Yeah. My least favorite activity for YES was having to color in those coloring books. It was like homework. I didn't like it. But this incredible story stood out to me because it was a testament to Daniel's faith in God and the power that he has to deliver those who trust in him. So the king gave the command, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. But the king spoke, saying to Daniel, "Your God, whom you serve continually, he will deliver you." I don't think he meant that. I think he was mocking him. Now we all know what happened next. They covered the den so Daniel couldn't escape or be rescued. The king went to bed, and the next morning he went to check on Daniel, expecting to find him eaten by lions. "Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to deliver you from the lions?" You can just picture his voice. Daniel said to the king, "O king, live forever. My God has sent his angel and shut the lions' mouths, so they have not hurt me, because I was found innocent before him. Oh, and also, king, I have done nothing wrong before you. Oh, by the way, I didn't do anything to deserve this punishment." He just had to put that in there. Talk about trusting God. I mean, he's talking to the king this way after he just got thrown into a den of lions. Now the king was exceedingly glad for him and commanded that they should take up Daniel out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den and no injury, whatever was found on him, because he believed in God. Daniel could have panicked when he was thrown into the lion's den, but instead he prayed and trusted God to deliver him, as he did. Sometimes we feel like we're being punished unjustly by God. Have you guys ever felt that way? You didn't deserve whatever trial was happening to you at that time? Job says to his counterparts in 13, verse 15, "Though he may slay me, yet I will trust him. Even so, I will defend my own ways before him," speaking of God. This speaks to the importance of trusting God, even in our trials. even when we feel like we've been unjustly punished, trust that there is a reason that God is allowing whatever is happening to you in your life to happen. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. How do we know that we can trust God, aside from the many examples in the Bible, three of which we just covered? Because God has promised that he will provide everything that we need in this life. In Philippians 4, verse 6 through 7, it says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything pray, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." God promises to bring us peace in times of trouble when we lean on him. God also promises to take care of our physical needs. We all know this in Matthew 6, verse 31 through 34. Christ says, "Do not worry, therefore do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?' For all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father, who knows all that you need, who knows all that you need, all these things, but seek him first. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." And lastly, God promises to provide us with guidance and with strength. Isaiah 41, verse 10 says, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." So far, we've discussed what it means to trust God and why it's important for us to do so. We've looked at biblical examples of men who trusted God in three different scenarios. And we've seen where God has promised to take care of all of our needs, providing peace through trials, physical sustenance, and providing guidance and strength to those who rely on him. But trust takes time to develop. If you're feeling anxious, what can you do in a practical sense to learn to really trust God, like really trust him? For one, we can do, the first thing we should do always is daily prayer and meditation. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 16 through 18 says, "Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." Regular communication with God is the first step for us in building trust with him. Reading and reflecting on Scripture, number two. Psalms 119, verse 105, "Your word is a lamp to my feet, a light to my path." Reading Scripture helps us to maintain our focus on our ultimate goal, to enter into the kingdom of God. And lastly, number three, and this is an important one, community and fellowship. Hebrews 10, verse 24 through 25 says, "And let us consider how we may spur up one another towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." We in God's church are a community. In these crazy, uncertain times, we must support one another with encouragement and with fellowship. Having our faith reinforced by our peers is a key factor in sticking with it till the end. We need to uphold one another as we march through the wilderness towards the promised land. Our world may be turning topsy-turvy. We should pray for those who have not yet received the message of hope that brings us peace when we know not what troubles tomorrow will bring. We know that God has promised to take care of our every need. He knows better than us in every way. And as long as we rely on him instead of our own understanding, we will never be left wanting. And we must actively work towards strengthening our trust in God through daily prayer, through reading Scripture, and through fellowship with one another. We don't know what will happen in November, who will be our next president of the United States, nor where that will lead us as a country in the coming years. We know nothing about what will happen tomorrow, or if tomorrow will even come for us. But what we do know is that we can trust in God to carry out his plan for the salvation of mankind. Happy Sabbath.